Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
The last 3.5 years of the tribulation, the great tribulation, the Antichrist will reveal his true identity. He will persecute the people of God and all those who have not received his mark. The Antichrist will mandate that everyone receive the mark. You take it on your hand or on your forehead.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. You may have heard people talk about end times, perhaps discussing the tribulation or the identity of the Antichrist. How should authentic followers of Jesus Christ approach prophecy? Today on The Verdict, we're continuing an important lesson about the coming tribulation and our perspective on the end of the age. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe as we continue in our study in the Gospel of Matthew.
The study of prophecy is fascinating, and I've been emphasizing it is important that we study the words of Scripture rather than listen to sensational so-called prophets or read the latest bestseller, which tries to link geopolitical and economic events to Scripture. We can do no better than to listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus is reminding his followers that they should not be led astray. We must be spiritually alert and not deceived about coming events. There will be an Antichrist in the future who will desecrate the future temple and commit blasphemy. There will also be a time of unprecedented persecution. Jesus taught that he's coming again. So keep your focus on Jesus Christ and don't be alarmed by world events.
Turn to Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to be looking at a rather difficult passage in verses 15 through 28. Now, I want to consider three things: the abomination of desolation, the tribulation, and the Antichrist. First of all, the abomination of desolation. Look again at verse 15. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. The abomination of desolation, does the reader understand? You say, I don't have a clue. Verse 15 here refers to the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. What's the holy place? The temple. The Antichrist will place himself in the temple as God. So that's the abomination of desolation. Now, secondly, the tribulation. And at the beginning of the tribulation, what's going to happen? The Antichrist is going to make a treaty with Israel. He's the powerful global ruler. It's going to arise. And Israel will enter into that treaty so that their borders are secure. And for a time of 3.5 years, there's relative peace. At the midpoint of the treaty, he breaks it. He has guaranteed Israel's borders. But now, halfway through the 7 years, the Antichrist will invade Israel. He'll break his covenant, and he will place himself in the temple as God. What blasphemy. And the abomination of desolation then commences the great tribulation period, and it climaxes with the return of Jesus Christ with power and glory. Now, the great tribulation is a time of unprecedented persecution. Look at verse 21. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. You say, well, the tribulation now, listen, it's nothing compared with what's coming, is the point. Praise God that the church is raptured prior to the tribulation. Now, what else is going on in the tribulation? Many things. And I realize that some of you say, we don't believe what you're saying. We think the church will go through the tribulation, or the church will go through part of the tribulation. Well, I ask you to consider this. Think of the uniqueness of the terms used in the Old Testament to describe the coming tribulation. Here are some of them. Isaiah 61, verse 2, the day of vengeance of our God. Daniel 12, verse 1, a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation. Sounds like Matthew 24, doesn't it? Zephaniah 1, verse 15, a day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. Jeremiah 30, verse 7, that day is so great, there is none like it. It is a time of distress for Jacob. Notice that. It's a time of distress for Jacob. Jacob being a name for Israel. It's a great day. It's a terrible day. There's nothing like it. And it's a day of distress for Jacob, not the church. And you know, as I know, that no nation on the face of the earth has been so persecuted consistently down through their history. For 3,000 years, the Jewish nation has been persecuted. Some have tried to completely obliterate the Jews. Hitler and his lieutenants tried to rid the world of Jews during the Holocaust. Gideon Hausner was Israel's attorney general at the prosecution of Adolf Eichmann in Israel. There's a book by Neil Bascom called Hunting Eichmann that I recently read. And Eichmann was one of the top men responsible for the killing of thousands and thousands of Jews. After the war, he fled and he ended up in Argentina in hiding. And the Israelis, in the beginning of Mossad, their intelligence service, they finally found out where he was and were able brilliantly to capture him and bring him back to Israel for trial in 1961. Here's the Attorney General as he begins his prosecution of this evil man who hated the Jews. He said, "When I stand before you, judges of Israel, to lead the prosecution of Adolf Eichmann, I'm not standing alone. With me are 6 million accusers, 1.5 million of them children. But they cannot rise to their feet and point an accusing finger towards him who sits in the dock and cry, 'I accuse.' For their ashes are piled up on the hills of Auschwitz and the fields of Treblinka, and they're strewn in the forests of Poland. Their graves," not their graces, "their graves are scattered throughout the length and breadth of Europe. Their blood cries out, but their voice is not heard. Therefore, I will be their spokesman." And Eichmann, rightly, was convicted. So the Jewish nation knows about persecution, a persecution which continues to this day. But think of this. This tribulation is unparalleled. Verse 22, if it were longer, no one would survive. It's a terrifying time of worldwide trouble, distress, and turmoil. It's unique. It's unprecedented. Yes, it has its precursor with the fall of Jerusalem, a foretaste of it. But the actual time of the tribulation, read it, Revelation 6 through 18. It's so terrible. It would be inconceivable unless the scriptures described it. A time of unbelievable horror, suffering, and turmoil in the earth. Yes, against the Jewish nation, but also against every single person. Satan has always hated the Jewish nation. And during a tribulation, his hatred is unleashed in unmitigated hatred. The tribulation. Finally, quickly, the Antichrist. The abomination of desolation. The tribulation, the Antichrist. The Antichrist is a future world leader who will come to power during the tribulation. People ask, could he be alive today? Yes, he could be alive today. He's not in power today, certainly not over all the world, but he's going to rise, and he's going to be the key figure during the tribulation period. Here is the chaos of the tribulation. And when people are in trouble, what do they look for? They look for a leader. And during the tribulation and all of the chaos, there will rise a very wise, a very shrewd political leader. Someone who can bring peace to the world. He's going to amass tremendous power. As I say, he'll make a treaty with Israel to protect his borders and his security. And during that time, Israel will be able to rebuild its temple. We read in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, that he enters into the holy place. He enters into the temple. He's a man of great intellect. He's a powerful political leader. He's an economic savior, a global dictator, and he is a worldwide religious figure. He controls everything. The banks, politics, yes, and religion. He's going to make himself as God. He's going to go into the temple to make that abomination of desolation. He takes the place of God and is utterly blasphemous. Listen to Daniel's prophecy, Daniel 11, verse 36. And the king, Antichrist, will do as he wills. He will exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. I'm the greatest. He's arrogant. He's proud. He's so proud, he commits blasphemy in the Jewish temple by declaring himself above every god. He shall speak astonishing things against the God of gods, the true God. He shall prosper till the indignation is accomplished, for what is decreed shall be done. He shall pay no attention to the gods of his fathers or to the one beloved by woman, probably a reference to Christ. He shall not pay attention to any other god, for he shall magnify himself above all. However, important side note, Revelation 19, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire in the future. Now you say, who's the Antichrist? Think of the word, he's Antichrist. He is against Christ. He's Satan's substitute for the King of Kings. He's sometimes called, Daniel 7, the little horn. He's called the beast in Revelation 13. 2 Thessalonians 2, he's called the man of lawlessness. He's the very personification of evil. And he's got a mark. He's got a number. Do any of you know what that mark or number is? 666. Don't tattoo that number on you. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation 13 to read about it. You say, is this fiction? No, it's not. This is not out of Hollywood. This is out of Scripture. John, old man as he was, gets a vision from God. And here's part of it. Revelation 13, verse 16. Also, it causes both all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both slave and free, to be marked on the right hand or on the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. That is, the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who's understanding, again, think, brothers and sisters, don't be deceived. Let's have understanding. Calculate the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man, and his number is 666. The last 3.5 years of the tribulation, the great tribulation, the Antichrist will reveal his true identity. He will persecute the people of God and all those who have not received his mark. The Antichrist will mandate that everyone receive the mark. You take it on your hand or on your forehead. It's a brand, it's a, we might say a tattoo. In this way, the Antichrist has worldwide economic and political control. We read, no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. You go to put fuel in your car and you're unable to get it unless you have the mark, unless you have the sign, unless you have the right number. We'll be dealing, I'm pretty sure, with a cashless society that's very possible without technology. And the person says, no, your credit card is not working. With the mark, the Antichrist will know exactly where everyone is, and many will take the mark. Think of the economic pressure. Think of the political pressure to take the mark of the beast. Now, can I say, and I'm going to be very dogmatic here. Some of you are going to disagree with me, but I want you to think about it. The COVID vaccine is not the mark of the beast. Please. Some of you are laughing, but I received emails. I received questions. Pastor, is the COVID vaccine the mark of the beast? No, it's not the mark of the beast. Absolutely not. Think of it. First of all, we're not in the tribulation yet. But the mark of the beast is not something you accidentally receive. It's not that you go to your doctor and you get the flu vaccine, but the mark of the beast is hidden in it. It's not that you get the shingles shot and the mark of the beast is put in it. I know there's conspiracies, theories put out by those who are anti-vaccine that this is the mark of the beast. Total nonsense. The mark of the beast, according to Scripture, is an intentional sign which people deliberately take, declaring their allegiance to the Antichrist. That's the point of it. It's not slipped to you. You've got to make up your mind. Are you on the side of the Antichrist or are you not? If you're on the side of the Antichrist, you deliberately go and you intentionally get the mark of the beast. It's not something slipped into you accidentally. Now, whether you take the COVID vaccine or not is another issue. For health reasons or other reasons, you may choose to get it or you may choose not to get it. Personally, I've got it and I continue to get it and I don't have the mark of the beast on me, I assure you. Don't be led astray. Now, when the Antichrist breaks the peace treaty with Israel after 3.5 years, the terrible events of the Great Tribulation will follow as prophesied by Jesus. If you refuse it, you're going to be persecuted. If you refuse the mark of the beast during the tribulation, you may well be killed. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble or Jacob's distress. Praise God that we, the church, won't be there. We'll be at home with the Lord. Now let me finish with this. As followers of Jesus, big picture here, we're not looking for the tribulation. We're not looking for the Antichrist. We are alert. We're watching what's going on in society. We're watching what's going on in the church community, in the economic community. We're wise. We're looking. But above all, we are looking for our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our blessed hope. Make sure you're spending more time looking for Christ than hunting for conspiracy theories. Make sure your eyes are on that blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We will not go through the tribulation, no. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9, Paul explicitly says that our Lord Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. God's wrath is coming on this earth for those who don't believe. No, we're not waiting for that. We're waiting for his Son from heaven. You see, Jesus is saying that wrath is coming. He's saying to the disciples, you see that beautiful temple? It's going to be utterly destroyed. In the future, those who reject Christ will experience his wrath. Where is the only place of safety? Listen to Paul. Romans 5, verse 6, for God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Any sinners here? Christ died for you while you are still a sinner. Since, therefore, we've now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. God's wrath is coming on those who refuse to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ, who are unsaved. The only place of safety is in Jesus Christ, to be sheltered because the blood has been applied. We belong now to Christ. We're in Christ. We're saved. We're eternally saved from the judgment and the wrath of God. Praise God. But during the tribulation period, people will be faced with a stark choice. Think of it. Will you take the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, or will you not? If you take it, how are you going to survive? You can't buy or sell. Your businesses go down. How are you going to get food? How am I going to survive? What would you do? What would be your choice? Let me ask you, what is your choice today? What's your choice today? Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm with those who say, no, we would never, ever, ever deny our Lord. Our allegiance, our top allegiance, is to Him. But what about you? Are you in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan? Are you in the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness? The kingdom of God or your own tiny little kingdom? Meantime, for those of us who are saved, don't be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Says Jesus, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How wonderful. The Lord Jesus Christ is gone. He's prepared my salvation. The work is done. If you've never done this, bow at His feet. Confess your sins and receive Christ and pass from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, a kingdom which will never end, a kingdom which is greater than Satan, greater than the Antichrist, greater than the forces of darkness. That kingdom will never end. And meantime, we say, even so come, Lord Jesus.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled The Coming Tribulation. John has more to share in just a moment, so keep listening. But first, I'd like to tell you about the special free resource we're offering our listeners right now from The Verdict. It's a booklet written by John that's focused on what Jesus taught his followers about how to follow him on a daily basis. This booklet walks you through the teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, and it's packed with insightful notes that will help you understand his very practical instruction and grow in your walk with him. The booklet is titled Life in the Kingdom, and you can request your free copy today by going to our website at theverdict.org. Here at The Verdict, we're committed to sharing the truth of God's Word and the good news of Jesus Christ every day. And you can be a part of this gospel work by supporting our ministry with a financial gift of any amount. We've made it quick and easy to give a one-time donation over on our website. And again, that's theverdict.org. You can also give your gift by sending a check in the mail and addressing your envelope to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. And before we close, we want to remind you to subscribe to The Verdict podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. When you do, you'll receive each of these daily messages automatically, along with bonus content from John. To learn more, just visit theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? I don't know whether the Antichrist is alive today or not, but it is interesting how this world, with all of its confusion, wars, rumors of wars, could easily unite behind a global ruler. But remember, greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. Scripture tells us that above all, we should be looking for Christ. Jesus still says to His followers, "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid."
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.